Android, some kind of tablet, or just use your eyelids and look up on the screen, because the scriptures will be up there. I'm changing the series name. I'm going to call it Summer in the City. I love summertime. I love palm trees up there. How many do you here love a nice palm tree? I just love that. And this is a beautiful time of the year. But I want to, as I was sitting here today, being in the house of God brings a reset in our lives. So I want to encourage you. Enjoy the summer. Enjoy the warm weather. Enjoy all of that. Make sure you make being a part of God's house a priority in your life. And with that, some of these things I've shared before, but I want to remind you of these things. And I was so happy to hear Ryan share what he did this morning, because it just confirmed what I was sharing about today. We live in a time, in a society. I want to talk about growing a great family. We live in a time where breakups are common. We read about them regularly. Friends of ours, we go through it. Strong families and relationships are being strained. We hear about abuse. We hear difficulty for singles, for parents, for single parent families, divorcees. And there's a lack of what it takes in our society to create this great family. And I'm not standing up here saying I've got it all together and I've done it all right. And that's the very purpose that I'm here to talk to you and tell you today. That because even if you're broken or you've gone through brokenness, God can restore you. He can build back your life. He can make all things new again. He'll give you a new day. He'll give you a fresh start. He'll help you have a redo, a re-over, whatever you want to call it. He will give you another chance. And that's the beautiful thing about the God that we serve today. He is not finished with you. He who has begun a good work in you. Maybe you're in the middle of a dark, hard, painful moment in your life. Can I tell you something? If you'll stick with the Lord, He'll see you through it. He'll bring you out to the other side. If you'll stick with Jesus and put Him first in your life, He'll help you to love your spouse, love your family, love the people that you're despising now. He'll take the old, wicked, evil stuff out of you. He'll fill you with joy unspeakable and full of glory and grace. He'll do inside of you what your parents weren't able to do, what your uncle and your aunt were able to do. Jesus will restore and make you brand new all over again. Come on, if you believe it, if you've received that, come on, give God a great hand clap of praise today. Don't mess around. But our marriage and our families are the key to the success in our future and in our lives. Psalm 68:5 says, this is who God is. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a protector of the widows and is God in His holy habitation. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious, they dwell in a dry, parched land. The Bible shows us a reflection of the nature of God. He says, first, He is a father to the fatherless. To all you here who are here today, and there's no father present in your life, I want you to know that God will be that person to you. And I don't know what's worse, that if you've lost a father at a young age as I did, or if you have a living dad who is not a part of your life and doesn't want anything to do with you. I don't know what's worse, to be honest with you. But I learned at a young age when I saw this scripture, I was in my early 20s and somebody showed this to me. I put my arms around it and I said, okay, God, if you're going to be my dad, this is what I needed. Can I tell you? He's been the father to me that I never had naturally in my life. And He'll do that to you as well. The Bible says He's a defender of widows. The Bible says He's a defender of widows in His holy habitation. That He will stand with you. He will defend you. You are not alone. The Message Bible says He will be a champion to the widows. And God will not only fight for you, but He will, as the scripture says, set you as a solitary in a family among others that will also fight for you. Can I just tell all the single women and actually all the single men too, if there's a huge decision that you need to make, don't make it on your own, and don't let anybody pressure you into, you got to do it today. I should hear a better amen than that. Do you want to know how many people I talk to on a regular basis? I had somebody call me up this week, tell me about selling something to somebody, and they said, oh, yeah, I'll pay. They should have had one of the brothers or somebody in the house of God that has some business sense come alongside of them and say, hey, don't do that right now. Hold off on that. God is a defender, but he can't do it if you recluse yourself and say, I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own. We can't do it on our own. We need help in that. The Bible says he looks after those who are lonely. He will place you in a family. And maybe you're here today and you're lonely and you're alone, but God has brought you for such a time as this into the family of God. And there are people right in this house today who love you, who accept you, and who will come alongside and bless and be a blessing to your life. I know this for sure. The Bible says he leads those that are trapped and bound, and he sets them free and gives them prosperity. Come on, somebody say, I want some of that in my life today. And then the Bible says, it says that God's nature is to rescue the helpless, no matter who they are. But one thing he can't do, he cannot help you if you're rebellious. The Bible says he will allow the rebellious to live in a sun-scorched land. You know, a rebellious heart drives people into isolation. A rebellious and even an unforgiving heart will put you in a dry and a hard place. A rebellious heart will not even accept the things that God has for you. God could come along and have a blessing that he wants to give to you. And if your heart is hardened and it's rebellious, you won't receive it. If you have a heart that you know better than God or anybody else, your heart is hard. And it'll be hard for God to do anything in you. You know, when we farmed, we had a piece of land that no matter what you would do to it, it was so hard. I remember dropping a plow in it, and the plow just rode across the top of the land. It's supposed to sink in. 8-9 inches. It wouldn't even go in. It was so hard. And then we tried to scratch it up, get a little dirt or dust on top. And I remember planting it and looking behind the planter, and all the seeds were laying on top of the ground. The birds were coming along. They had big fat bellies because they were looking at me. What a dummy he is trying to plant seeds on hard ground. See, that's why the Bible says that if your heart is hard, you dwell in a sun-scorched land. You can't receive anything from the Lord. The Bible says that God sets himself against the proud. And if we're going to have anything in our lives, we're going to have to sow seeds that grow. When we don't change our lives and accept the plan that God has for us, we don't receive the seed that he has for us. And a fruitful life is not accidental. Oh, they just were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Maybe some have been, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I never knew anything about that. But what I have learned is to plant seeds. And when we look at planting seeds and having a great family, I believe the scripture is so real when it talks about this. Number one, you have to learn, you have to start, and Ryan said it today, with your thought process. You have to sow with your thoughts because every thought is a seed. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, as he thinks, so is he. What is your thought pattern today? Negative thoughts are seeds. Positive, God-like thoughts are seeds, and they will grow something great. And you don't have to have everything together to begin to declare and begin to think about those seeds. You have to believe that you can change the way you think. Some people come, I can't stop thinking the way I think. And the reality of it is, yes, you can. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ. You and I may not be exercising to the dimension of our potential yet, but we have the ability to do that. We can soar because of who is living inside of us. He can change your thoughts. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature. And we're not talking about a filet here or a porterhouse. We're talking about the word of the living God. He said solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. You practice what you learn in God's word, and as you begin to practice it, and it may go against everything that's in you, but the more you do it, come on, somebody, the more it becomes natural to you. It's repetition. It becomes natural, and it will help you to distinguish and to discern good from no good, right from wrong. Babies, when our kids were little and we'd let them crawl, if something was on the ground, they'd reach down, pick it up, shove it in their mouth. No discernment. Just because it was there and they wanted to take it because they didn't understand. You know, sometimes people are that way because they don't have a knowledge of what God's word says about a situation, that they will just pick anything up and begin to eat it. Somebody can come along and say, oh, don't worry, it's okay. Leave your family, man. Come on, let's have some fun. That's baby. Come on, let's just go out and party a little bit. And, hey, your family will be all right. Your wife or your husband, they'll be all right. That's baby. But the mature says, no, I'm going to sow a seed of righteousness. I'm going to sow into my children, into my wife, into my husband. I'm going to do the things that will prosper my life. And it's not the minimums. Jesus said in Mark 7:20, he said, what comes out of a man is what defiles a man. What do you think is inside of us? It's the way we think. It's the thoughts that we're processing. Secondly, we have to sow with our words. If you think about something long enough, you begin to say it long enough. I think this is one of the most powerful truths that you can learn in your home, in your life. The words from your mouth, death and life, Proverbs 18:21 says, they're in the power of your tongue. And those who love it, they'll eat its fruit. If you go around saying, telling your wife or telling your husband, you're ugly, you're fat, you're this, you don't make enough money, I remember what you did to me, you said that you did this 20 years ago. If you keep on talking about that, you are sowing evil into your home, into your family. Proverbs 30:32 says, if you've been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you've devised evil, just put your hand over your mouth and stop it. Somebody have words in your vocabulary that you're used to saying, and you need to change it. Can I take this one step further? Little funny slang names that we call our kids, and we think they're cute, maybe they're little. This always strikes me when people give a handle to their kids that is anything less than building them up. We think, they're little, they're cute, but then when they grow up with it, it's negative and it's hurtful and it's harmful. Be careful what you call. Call your kids words like champion, overcomer, beautiful, handsome, lovely, perfect, smart, brilliant, successful, awesome, wonderful, lovely. Give those words out of your mouth. Be repetitious about that. The world says, sometimes you need to see things to believe it. But the Bible says God says you need to believe it. Then you'll see it. And when you see it, you don't talk about it just when you see it. You talk about it before it ever comes into being. I laid my hands on my kids when they were in the crib. They were peeing and messing their pants. And I laid my hands on them. And I said, God, I thank you that you have blessed them. I thank you that the blessing, you said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the blessing of them would rest upon my kids. You said, because I am grafted into the vine, my children will be blessed. You said a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. I prayed for my grandkids when my kids were babies. You have to do that. Do you know that whatever you talk to will grow and whatever you stop talking to will die? Do you know that all grass seed is not the same? I had this conversation with somebody a little bit ago. They bought this bag of grass seed. It was on sale. It was cheap. It was old. Not all seed is the same. If you look at a label on a bag of grass seed, you'll see a particular content of weed seed in that grass seed. And you know the reality of it is, you can plant it and even weeds will begin to grow up green. But later on, guess what they'll be? Weeds. A weed is a weed. And you shouldn't sow weeds when you're sowing into your family. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free, and he gives them great joy. If you sowed bad words in your home, in your family, with your husband, with your wife, with anybody else, dig them up. Do away with them. Number three, I'm going to be done in just a moment. We sow with our spirit. Luke chapter 9, verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw what was happening, they said, Lord, you want us to call fire down and consume? And Jesus looked at them and he rebuked them and he said, you don't know what spirit you are of. Sometimes people, you have a right to get a funk on you. Oh, yeah. Somebody could say something, do something to you, and you're going to act miserable. There's some people in this room today. You're miserable, you're ornery, and when people get around you, if they don't do what you want them to do, you just get more, and your spirit is sick. And God wants to bring you out of that. I should hear more than one amen right now. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit stronger than one who can take a city. Get your spirit under control. Quit allowing outside influence and forces to have a negative effect on your spirit. Quit being the dad coming home. Listen, I'm talking about me. I'd come home, my spirit would be stinky, and my wife would say to my kids, stay away from dad, he's not doing well. That was so wrong. My spirit stunk. And I'm sorry for that to this day, but I'm going to watch over my spirit. I'm going to listen to the right things. I'm going to read the right things. I'm going to expose myself to the right environment, to the right people, so that I won't have that happen in my life anymore. And then lastly, you got to sow with your actions. I already said this. James 1:22, be doers of the word. Don't just hear about it. Be a doer of it. Don't deceive yourself. Be a doer of it. Begin today. Change your thoughts. Change the words that you speak. Work on your spirit. If you got to prepare, people say, well, I haven't had my coffee yet. Come on. You're going to let a cup of coffee rule your spirit? Well, I haven't had this yet, I'm not awake yet, or I'm tired, or I'm this, or I'm that. Rule your spirit, and then put some actions to it. And watch God create a great family in your life. Come on, do you receive that today? Come on, do you receive that today? Praise God. Father, I pray for every life that is here. I pray for every family. Lord, my heart is that great, great families will emerge from this house. Lord, you've done so many beautiful things in so many people. And I pray, God, today, there are some here that have been brought up in a broken home and they've got every reason to fail. But Lord, you've given us every reason to win. You've given every one of us, Lord, that head start, because when we make you Lord and master of our lives, you come in, you transform and change us and make us into your image and into your likeness. And for that, we thank you and we praise you for that. I pray for my brothers and sisters today. Strengthen them, build them, bless them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. I want you to prepare to give for the missions team that is going to LA. Ushers, I want you to just come on down. You can use the Push Pay app to do that. If you're not prepared, take an offering envelope. There's a return mailing address on there, and right on the outside of it, missions. Take it with you. Sow something in these lives. Pray for Brad as he's out running a few nights ago. He's in the dark. He ran from Oakfield to Dunkin' Donut. He didn't even get a donut while he was there. And back 13 and a half miles at 10 o'clock at night for these people to go on this trip. Let's come alongside of what God is doing here, okay? Lord, bless. Use this group of people. Let each one know that they are loved in this house. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Today as you give, I want some prayer folk to come on down here. Stand with me if you need prayer before you leave today for anything in your life. Come on down. Maybe you're a dad. Maybe you're struggling as a parent today. Maybe something that was said. Maybe you haven't been able to rule your spirit. Maybe you're letting negative things control your life because of your background. Let him touch your life today. Let him have his way in your heart today. I love you. Swing over through the parking lot, the Generation Center. Get your car washed on the way out this morning. We love you. Go in God's grace today. If you need prayer, you come on down. These folks will pray over you.